This is HeartWise, offering practical tips and time-proven guidelines to make your life healthier, happier, and more fulfilling. Today you'll learn simple Bible-based principles for building and maintaining optimum mental and physical health, all while deepening your relationship with your Creator. I'm your HeartWise host, Charles Mills. Today we talk about sleep, that glorious, peaceful escape from the daily grind. We all need it. More to the point, we probably all need more of it. However, there is a medical condition that can turn sweet dreams into your worst nightmare. It's possible that under certain circumstances, we could very well wake up dead. Here to fill us in on the details is our well-rested cardiologist and founder director of HeartWise Ministries, Dr. James Markham. Dr. Markham, what do we need to know?
Well, Charles, there's so much that we need to know about sleep, especially sleep apnea. And I want to sort of build a framework first as we talk about some of these medical conditions and we educate not only ourselves, but our audiences. Good. Now, all of us, except maybe you, Charles, our genes get old as time goes on. You know, we wear out. Okay. Some of us don't wear out. Some of us do wear out. But all of us have parts that wear out. Okay. I think everyone can agree with that.
Yes.
The parts that wear out quickest on our bodies depends on our genes and the stress we put on those genes. For instance, if everyone in the Mills household loses their hearing at age 62, and I yell in your ear all day long, you might lose your hearing at age 52.
Yes.
Well, similarly, we have other parts of our body, and if we put stress on those body parts, aging occurs. When aging occurs, we have DNA changes, telomeres shorten, we have mutations, then we develop symptoms, and modern medicine really is good at treating the symptoms, but not so much the cause. Are you following me here?
I am, indeed, yes.
So our goal, not only to be healthy, but the treatment for many diseases is to do things that decrease the stress chemistry on our body. So that leads me into sleeping. You know, we were designed to rest well. We were designed to sleep well. And unfortunately, right now in the world, we have a condition called sleep apnea. Sleep is when we're supposed to be sleeping. Apnea means we're just not breathing when we sleep.
We're not breathing when we sleep.
Yes.
Okay.
And unfortunately, right now, it's been estimated that the numbers of people with this condition goes up every year. Now, before we describe exactly what happens when we're not breathing, let's talk about, you know, if you hold your breath, sooner or later, bad things happen. It puts stress on the body.
Right.
Well, at night, when we're asleep, sometimes we don't even know we're not breathing. What happens in our body, our oxygen level goes down in our cells. Our carbon dioxide goes up. And when that happens, it triggers stress in the body to wake us up and get us breathing again.
Sure, yeah.
And if that goes on over and over, this prolonged exposure to lack of oxygen damages the body. Now, it might take some time to damage it based on the genes that we talked about, but sooner or later, this stress chemistry causes physiologic problems. It can affect the way we think. It can affect our metabolism, more likely to get metabolic disorders in our body, like fatty liver, because when we're under stress, the body breaks down more fats.
Right.
That could hurt the liver. It makes adrenaline go up, which could raise our blood pressure. Well, of course, we could get tired all the time, so our cognition might change, so we might get into more car accidents. So this sleep apnea condition is sometimes subtle, but it leads to major, major problems for people, especially since it's unknown. It's been estimated that 20 to 30% of all men have this.
Ooh.
Some people know about it. Some people don't even know about it. In women, it's a little bit less common until they pass the menopause years, and then the prevalence catches up with men. So if this goes on year in and year out, it puts stress on the body. These genes, depending on our genetics, it puts stress on the cardiovascular system. It can increase the risk of heart attacks, strokes, high blood pressure, diabetes. All sorts of bad things can happen. In fact, one of the first questions I ask a person that's in heart failure is, how are you sleeping at night? One of the first questions I ask someone with diabetes, it's hard to control. I ask them, how are you sleeping at night? Someone with blood sugar that's way high or blood pressure that's way high. Well, I want to try to get at the cause. What is the stressor that's activating this milieu of stress chemicals that might be causing aging, damaging the parts, prompting the need for medicines that treat the symptoms that might not get at the cause? Are you following me so far?
I am. So when I'm driving down the road, when I'm on the freeway and I'm driving down the road, I not only have to worry about what the person behind me or beside me or coming at me has had to drink that day, but their sleep patterns for the last 8 months or 10 months or 5 years. Am I right?
Absolutely correct,
wow.
Charles.
Wow.
And the prevalence continues to go up. And the reason it goes up is because we're doing things in our body that stresses our body out so we can't breathe at night. For instance, just being overweight, a 10% weight gain increases the chance of sleep apnea by about 32%. So just losing weight can help your sleeping at night so you can turn off all the stress that raises your risk of having genetic damage and aging. Just losing a few pounds. That sounds good.
Yeah.
Alcohol. Alcohol depresses our brains, Charles. It makes the respiratory muscles depressed, so that can lead to sleep apnea. Medicines like tranquilizers, cigarettes can do it. And then there's some genetic conditions. Some people just have small airways. Some people have big tonsils. Some people have allergies. Well, all of these things can trigger this condition where we don't get enough oxygen at night. We've given this a fancy medical term. One of the terms we use is sleep disordered breathing. Another term we use is sleep apnea. And we've known about this for years and years. In fact, William Osler, the famous doctor that John Hopkins that went over to England, when he got over to England, you know, he described these body types. He called it Pickwickian. And that was named after a Dickens novel, if you remember, of a big, heavy kid that probably had sleep apnea. So this has been around a long time. But now, for the first time in years, we have ways to diagnose it. Doctors are looking for the symptoms of sleep apnea. I see it frequently by the body parts. You know, I say, wow, why is this guy have high blood pressure? Why does this guy have no energy? Why is his cardiovascular system falling apart? So as I look at the cause, one of the causes of extreme stress is sleep apnea. If you go underwater, Charles, and hold your breath, and then have to breathe, come up and get a breath of air, if you do that for 8 to 10 hours a night, there's metabolic consequences, damages DNA, our telomeres shorten, and sooner or later we have damages, have symptoms, might be high blood pressure, might be high blood sugar, might be not sleeping well at night, and sooner or later this causes consequences to our bodies, and then we get these chronic diseases that we're trying to stay away from.
Now, you had mentioned here overweight, alcohol, meds, cigarettes, and genetics. Will just one of those do it, or do they have to have all of them? Do they work in concert, or can one just take you out?
One can do it enough,
wow.
Okay? But the biggest risk factor out there today is being overweight.
Overweight, okay.
And there's two types of sleep apnea. There's two types. Well, there could be considered a three, but the third type is a mixture. One is called obstructive sleep apnea, and that's where you just can't get the oxygen in and out. And that's very much common what we see in people that have obesity. You know, they get a little extra tissue around their neck. They can't get the air out if they drink alcohol. You know, their muscles get relaxed. Tranquilizers might do that. That's the most common cause of obstructive sleep apnea.
Right.
The other type is where the brain doesn't signal you to sleep well.
Wow.
And that's called central sleep apnea. Well, the airway's fine, but the brain is just not screening well for you to breathe well. The third type of sleep apnea is a mixture of the two. You have a little bit of both. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not getting the air in and out, and the brain's not signaling. So what could mess up our sleep patterns from the brain? Well, anything that puts stress on the brain is definitely not going to help the brain. And I really think that all of this, over the last 100 years, we've had so much TV, so much stimulus at night, so much light. Now we have the cell phone. We're taking lots of medicines that we weren't designed to have. All of a sudden, all these chemicals go up in our body, the adrenaline and that, and it messes up our normal sleep chemistry in our bodies. We're stimulated all the time, so we don't sleep well at night. If we don't sleep well at night, we don't breathe well at night. And this leads to the plethora of some of the problems we talked about.
Wow. Sleep apnea. Who knew that a lot of the problems that we face, listener, in our lives, the conditions we're in, they work against us even while we're trying to sleep. The alcoholism, the overweight, the meds, the cigarettes, even our genetics can work against us in our sleep. But we wouldn't be talking about this until we have the other side of the story, and we'll look at that on our other side of the break. Dr. James Markham here is with us today. He is the founder and director of Heartwise Ministries. When we come back, Dr. Markham, we need some good news, and we need it now. So everybody stay right where you are.
Welcome to Live with Sam. I'm Sam, talking today with Abram, the smartest boy in our school. He gets an A in everything.
That's not exactly accurate. I got a B plus once.
Really? In what?
I don't want to talk about it. The pain is still too fresh.
Okay, let's talk about health. I noticed that you do a lot of walking and jogging and bicycle riding. May I ask why?
When you have a brain like mine, you've got to keep it in perfect working order. That requires a combination of good food, sound sleep, mental stimulation, and daily exercise.
So, to be smart, you have to be healthy?
Precisely.
So, what do you do to take care of your brain?
I'm glad you asked that question, Sam. First, I care for my body with nutritious meals centered on a whole food, plant-based diet. I refrain from imbibing sugary snacks and highly refined packaged edibles. Next, I stimulate my brain by reading the great words of skilled authors and listening to classical and cultural music selections from around the world. And finally, I succumb to a daily regimen of physical activity that requires a certain degree of exertion. I also floss.
Well, it sounds like you're very serious about your health.
Absolutely. To do otherwise would be, if I may use a grossly overused adjective, totally dumb.
Thank you, Abram, the smartest boy in school. I'm Sam with Live with Sam. Goodbye.
God has given us everything we need to be healthy inside and out. During Creation Week, He established a health plan for every creature on earth. To learn more about healthy living and about the God who created us all, go to kidsbibleinfo.com. That's kidsbibleinfo.com. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists. Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Charles Mills. Our guest today, Dr. James Markham. He is the founder and director of Heartwise Ministries. We're talking about sleep today. I'm calling this program Dangerous Sleep. And who would think sleep could be dangerous? But there is a condition that Dr. Markham is talking about called sleep apnea that can make even those wonderful, peaceful nighttime hours something to be feared if we are doing certain things to our bodies. And Dr. Markham has identified overweight, alcohol, meds, and cigarettes, and even genetics as part of that if. But there's good news, right, Dr. Markham?
Absolutely, Charles. And in this sleep apnea condition, actually, the older we get, the more likely we might succumb to sleep apnea just because the elasticity in the body is not as good.
Yeah.
So that's why exercise is very important as we get older. So the parts still work good. They don't get stiff.
Yes. Okay.
But I wanted to talk a few minutes about, one, the diagnosis, who should be worried about it, and give everyone some positive hope today.
Yes, yes.
I want to do that.
Good.
Well, if you are out there listening today and you might have symptoms, let's say you've been diagnosed with diabetes and you can't control it. Let's say you have high blood pressure and it's very difficult to control. Let's say you're tired all the time. Let's say you have cardiovascular disease. You might have this condition called sleep apnea. So if you go to your doctor and you say, well, you know, I have symptoms like I have headaches a lot. I'm tired all the time. My blood pressure shoots up. I don't feel rested at the end of a sleep. I'm carrying some extra weight. These are all symptoms of sleep apnea. And what your doctor would do is say, hey, you could have sleep apnea. Let's do some testing. And the way we do this is we take a patient to a sleep lab, Charles, and in that sleep lab, we hook them up to a bunch of monitors, EKGs, oxygen saturations. We see how many times they quit breathing in a period of time. So if you have greater than five events, now what an event is you just quit breathing. If you quit breathing greater than five times an hour, then that gives you the diagnosis of sleep apnea. So, of course, the more events you have per hour, the greater the sleep apnea. Now, a lot of people say, oh, I snore all the time. Does snoring mean I have sleep apnea? No, not necessarily. But if you snore and then you stop snoring, you know, that would count as an episode.
Okay.
So that's
all
one
right.
episode an hour. So if you snore, you want to listen to whoever's snoring. If they snore regularly, that's good. But if you notice they quit breathing, that could be a symptom of disordered sleep breathing. And what happens in the body, we've already talked about it. The carbon dioxide goes up. The oxygen goes down. Sooner or later, you're underwater. You need oxygen. So these alarm, these stress chemicals go up and you wake up and then you make a sound like this. And you sort of jerk around. Other symptoms, some people have restless legs. Some people have a lot of muscle aches and pains the next day because they're not resting their parts. Their parts don't rest well. So the next day, they don't feel well because they don't recover from the night before. This also affects brains, Charles. We know that people that have sleep deprivation have higher chances, twice that, of having a motor vehicle accident. We know that it affects every cell in the body when we don't get enough oxygen. So oxygen is one of the basics that we need. So that's how we would make the diagnosis. So you would go to a sleep lab, they'd hook you up to oxygen, see if your oxygen level was going down, count the times you were asleep, how many times you were having these sleep spells. And if it met the criteria, they'd say, yes, you have the diagnosis of sleep apnea. So the next step is once they know you have sleep apnea, the next step would be, well, how do I treat it? Now, many people, if they just have mild sleep apnea, they come back to me and they say, yes, I have it. And I said, well, you know what? Let's work at the cause of it. Many sleep apnea can be reversed by getting into an exercise program, which is good news. They can lose weight, which is good news. They can give up alcohol, cigarettes. Maybe they can turn off the TV at night. Maybe they can do these things and voila, they no longer have sleep apnea.
Wow.
Now, some people have it so bad, Charles, especially the patients I see with weak hearts and cardiovascular disease. In fact, one in three people with cardiovascular disease has sleep apnea. So it's very common in heart patients to have sleep apnea. So that's why I'm so attuned to this.
Yes.
So if they have it, then I say, listen, it's causing you to go into heart failure. We want you to try to reverse it. But until then, we need treatment. And there's many different ways to treat it. One of the ways that's most common is called a CPAP mask. And that stands for continuous positive airway pressure. So while you're asleep, they have a machine that pushes oxygen and air in through those airways to help keep your oxygen up at night. Now, there's other ways to treat it. Some people can lay on their side and treat it. Some people can wear these dental appliances that keep their tongue out of the way and keep the airway open. So there's many different ways to treat it. But by far, the most common one is to treat it with continuous positive airway until you can get at the cause of the disease. I had one person that came in and they had obstructive and central sleep apnea combined, and they just lost 20 pounds. They quit watching TV, got some of the stress off of them at night. They started an exercise program. In just 2 months, they were having 10 episodes of where they quit breathing an hour. That went down to zero.
Wow.
So when that happened, they got oxygen all night long. Their adrenaline and cortisol, which raised their blood pressure and blood sugar, their metabolic problems started to improve. Their fat metabolism improved dramatically because they weren't under stress. When we're under stress, our body breaks down whatever energy source we have in us. Right. So that's why it's sort of a metabolic problem too. All of that got better in a short period of time. But most people, they come to the office, Charles, and they say, I just don't think I can do these things. And I said, well, how can I help that person? Well, I tell them, in life, there's a place for modern medicine in that sleep machine. Mm-hmm. There's a place for lifestyle, you know, because we don't want to have those things. But the key to knowing which one to use is that path we have with our Heavenly Father. And that's why I try to plug them into a higher power. And I've been plugging them into worship now, Charles. And I said, why don't you start a worship program where you can get the power that God will help you see what lifestyle changes you need to make. Also help you know when to use modern medicine. And some people are so genetically damaged, Charles, that they can't do anything but worship. But you know what? When we worship, that is a safe place to be for eternity. Yes. So with that, HeartWise has developed a worship plan that's just 10 minutes. And nowadays, people can get it on their app where they can worship for 10 minutes every day, a physiologic worship where we do worship warm-up, where we have a text, where we have things that they can do to ask God to come into their life, to give them the power, to help know when to use modern medicine, slow down the aging process and give us the power to make these lifestyle changes and maybe prevent these chronic diseases which are plaguing so many people today. Does this make sense?
It does. You know, as you were talking there about how we can use worship, I thought of that song, Breathe on Me, Breath of God, and also thought about that scene in the Garden of Eden. How did Adam become alive? God breathed into him the breath of life. So how important it is for us to have that daily breath of God in our lives, especially, not only just because, but especially if we have sleep apnea. And a lot of us have spiritual apnea. A lot of us have relationship apnea. A lot of us have social apnea. We need to have God breathing on us. And that app sounds like a wonderful addition to the life that can bring that kind of breath of God into our lives. That is amazing. Where can we find out about that again?
Go to the app store and type in Biblical Prescriptions, and you can find that app. It's a free app. It will come right to their phone, and they can start using on it. We're still working on some bells and whistles, so yes. If you don't see it perfect, you know, don't hold us accountable. Mm-hmm. But we're gradually improving that. Another tool that people can use to improve their health. Charles, we all have bad genes.
Yes.
I wish we didn't, but we all have bad genes. We all need a savior. So in healthcare, that's the place to start. Find that savior. Let that relationship grow. Let him give you the power to see what needs to be done. Lifestyle. Use modern medicine when appropriate. Put all these parts together and be happy and be positive. If you have sleep apnea out there, I want you to be aware of it. If you think you might have it, get it diagnosed, find out about it, but don't lose hope because, you know, there's always things that we can do to improve our health. And one of those things is just starting in worship every day.
Oh, amen to that. Dr. James Markham, our guest today, founder, director of HeartWise Ministries. If you want more information about this and other programs that HeartWise has, of course, there's the heartwiseministries.org website. I recommend you go there. You can listen to Dr. Markham's blogs. You can see his videos. You can listen to these programs again. They're all right there at HeartWise Ministries. And by the way, if you are on Roku, you can go to certain networks that have this program as well. And I listen every Friday night. My wife and I listen to this program just because we love it so much. We like what Dr. Markham and the other guests on this program have to say. So check that out on Roku. HeartWiseMinistries.org will get you started. Dr. Markham, thank you so much for being with us today and sharing these words of wisdom and guidance. We appreciate it.
My pleasure, Charles. And I just want to wish everyone the best of health and just keep moving forward one day at a time.
Amen. With the breath of God. Until next time, this is Charles Mills along with Dr. James Markham, inviting you to remain HeartWise. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for joining us today on HeartWise. If you'd like more information on how to build and maintain optimum physical, mental, and spiritual health, log on to heartwiseministries.org. HeartWise is a listener-supported program, and your partnership with us would be greatly appreciated. Once again, our web address is heartwiseministries.org.